That's the great Lester Young and Count Basie, Lady Be Good. Lester Young, born on this day in 1919, so on this day in history, we celebrate his music. Mays, who went out with, celebrating his birthday as well. And now we switch our gears and talk, as we have been doing every day, and we'll continue to talk about when it comes to where we go from here, about Ferguson, Missouri, and Baltimore, Maryland, and Oakland, California, and New York City, New York, and Staten Island, and beyond. And we're reminding you, by the way, this conversation, the Morgan State University community is hosting a teach-in on the disproportionate victimization of African Americans tomorrow, Thursday, August 28th, from 11 to 1 p.m. in Jenkins 104 and the Outdoor Amphitheater. You can get more information by emailing Natasha.PrattHarris at Morgan.edu, who was our guest yesterday, Dr. Harris, Pratt Harris, professor here at Morgan State University. And we're having this conversation now because the Institute for the Black World's Ferguson and Beyond, the Way Forward Town Hall meeting on police killings on black men will take place tonight from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Bus Boys and Poets at 5th and K Streets in Washington, D.C. There'll be a live webcast that you can view at ibw21.org. And we are joined here right now by Don Rojas, who is the Director of Communications for the Institute for the Black World 21st Century, member of the IBW Board of Directors. Ron Hampton is retired D.C. Metropolitan Police Department's Community Relations Officer, the Washington, D.C. Representative for Blacks and Law Enforcement of America, former Executive Director of the National Black Police Association, and a member of the Board of the Institute for the Black World. And also we're joined by Nikichi Tefa, who is a Senior Policy Analyst for Civil and Criminal Justice Reform at the Open Society Foundations. Good to have the three of you with us.
Thanks for having us on, Mark.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at Steiner Show. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org. Log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. We really want to hear from you about where you think we go from here. Things erupt. The people of Ferguson have kept the heat on, just as the Tyrone West family in Baltimore has kept the heat on. Oscar Grant's family has kept the heat on. But what do we do in a broader sense? And is what we're going to kind of wrestle with today. I want to hear your thoughts on that. Nakichi, let me start with you. I mean, where do you think we go from here? How do we keep the heat on?
Well, I would say that as we now grieve for Michael Brown, one of the latest victims of law enforcement malfeasance, we need to vow that his passing will not just be a moment that will dissipate with time, but will actually be the spark which will galvanize a movement. That's what I think needs to happen now. That's what I think has been missing over the past number of years with all these incidents of police killings. The movement has not been able to be sustained. I think we are witnessing something a little bit different now, and that is where I think we need to go from here.
And how do we get there, do you think, Ron Hampton? I mean, this is a complex subject. Let me ask that question first. How do we get there?
Well, I think we're part of the way there. We're on the road to that because we've over the years we've been collecting data. There's information when these incidents take place. There's people on the ground just collecting information. There's a whole a wealth of gathering information. People working on these issues, like myself, like Nikita, Ron Daniels, and others who are working on it and compiling this information, and we're moving forward. One of the things that I think that is that there has to be a continued organization and strategic rebuilding strategies in the community that has happened, because the transit part of this, we're going to be in and out, but it's going to come from the people there working in communities, coming together to talk about these issues, working with law enforcement officials, working with other individuals in the community to get those things done. So I think we're on that road because we have all of the information and stuff, but we've just got to be even more vigilant than we've been to get it done.
So, Don Rojas, I'm one of the things I'm curious about here, and I want to explore with the three of you in this and see what our listeners think at 410-319-8888. I've been in touch very close with Tawanda Jones and other members of Tyrone West family here in Baltimore, who was a young man who died at the hands while in custody of the police here on the streets of Baltimore, and have galvanized a movement in this city. She just came back from New York, where Eric Garner's family invited her to come up and walk with them as thousands of people walked and in New York, and you saw that kind of uniting and being in touch with Trayvon's parents. But you see things sparking around the country where people are demonstrating in Baltimore and Oakland and Chicago and everywhere, just saying enough is enough. And but so there's things are bubbling up. So talk a bit about that and what you think that means and how the kind of stuff you're trying to do tonight might fit into that.
Yes, Mark. Things are bubbling up across the country. We're probably witnessing a revitalization of a widespread nationwide protest movement against this epidemic of police killings and police mistreatment, particularly of young black males, but not exclusively, young black females as well, across the country. Just witness what happened in Ferguson 3 weeks ago. Hundreds of young people from all over the country descended on Ferguson. They came by train, they came by plane, they came by busloads. And they participated in the protest marches. They participated in the resistance, the peaceful resistance. They were vocal. They were active. They were energized. In fact, they were in the leadership of the protests that sort of riveted the nation's attention for so many days last week and the week before. And we are going to have, in fact, one of the young activist leaders from the D.C. area, who, along with several of her colleagues, took a bus and drove all the way from D.C. to Ferguson last week, and they're now back in D.C., and she is going to give a firsthand report back to the community of what she and her colleagues saw and did in Ferguson. It's we're seeing an emergence of a young cadre of black leaders who are politically conscious and morally courageous, and for those of us aging activists, it's an inspiration.
Speak yourself, Rojas.
I think we should step aside and have them lead the next stage of the struggle for racial equality and for social and economic justice in the United States.
But actually, and Don, going along with what you're saying in terms of the youth stepping forward and taking the lead, you also really see the traditional, regular civil rights organizations joining hands with the youth as well. In fact, there's a statement that came out, a unified statement amongst the civil rights organizations that the youth are taking up as well, calling for a number of very, very concrete steps that can be done right now, in addition to the comprehensive federal investigation by the Department of Justice into the fatal shootings, but also a demand that police officers use body-worn cameras to record every single police civilian encounter, that there be the universal use of dash cameras and police vehicles, then we don't have to rely on the individual person out there on the street with their iPhone capturing things on camera. These should be standard, and they should be required, and they should be used, you know, just across the board. You have the civil rights organizations. You have the youth. We really have the beginnings of what I really hope will be a sustained movement.
Can I give an example of what they're talking about?
Sure, Ron Hampton.
And this is the value of the different sections. One of the things that they're calling for in the Ferguson, they've outlined some objectives. And one of the things they're calling for is civilian complaint review. Well, we had the benefit of having been involved in the establishment of civilian complaint review, not only here in Washington, but other places. And sometimes civilian complaint review works, sometimes it doesn't work. But we have the analysis, we have the stories, short and long, about that, and we need to be talking about if we're going to have, or if they're going to have civilian complaint review in Ferguson. Let's talk about it in a very different kind of way. because even though we have it here in Washington and other places, it's still not complete. There are many obstacles to that, and so it isn't working in its most efficient and effective way. And then there are other issues. So there's a role for all of us to play. And if we're going to be effective this time, then we need to take some lessons from the past and then apply them. Another thing is that, you know, we've seen the incidents, but now this has to be litigated in the court setting. And, you know, I'm concerned about if there's going to be a grand jury indictment, if there's going to be a trial, you know, New York, Ferguson, other issues around the country where this has happened. We've seen this before where officers commit a murder in cold blood and then has a trial and walks out of the courtroom scot-free. And then the violence gets initiated all over again. We ought to be tired of that. So it has to be a multi-pronged approach to dealing with it. It just can't be that we want police reform. What we really want is criminal justice system reform.
I think, Ron, you raise a very critical question. And let me just also add that in Maryland, where we're broadcasting from, there has been a bill put in every year for police to wear cameras. This year, Delegate Frank Conway is reintroducing that bill in the coming legislative session. And this might be the year with kind of momentum and organizing that the bill can actually pass or being pushed, because now the debate is out there more than it has been because of the tragedy of Ferguson and the response to Ferguson from the communities.
Yeah, Mark, you know, I was surprised that even a sort of centrist, middle-of-the-road national newspaper like USA Today came out a couple of days ago in an editorial fully supporting the use of body cams by police officers across the country. So this demand is resonating, and it's picking up support across the political divide. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But this is just one, as Nikichi was saying, just one of a whole series of demands. There's got to be some legislative response coming out of Congress. Coming out of the White House, there's been, and the Justice Department, you know, there's been some movement. Attorney General Holder went out and visited and spent a day in Ferguson, you know, and visited with the family and with local political leaders there. President Obama says that he's going to be reviewing the whole policy of the federal government militarizing or providing military military means to local police officers, local police departments around the country. We have to, this movement that we've been talking about has to keep the pressure on the local as well as national elected officials. You know, it's going to energize, I think, further a lot more young people across the country. It will also hopefully re-energize the civil rights movement, the traditional civil rights organization.
So I want to get a phone call here and come right back to Ron and Nikichi before we run out of time in this segment. 410-319-8888. Bill, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Yeah, my comment is I honestly believe what I'm about to say is truly the first step in solving the problems of not only these recent incidents that we've seen made national headlines and, you know, you're hearing talk of spawning movements and all of this. I really believe that the first step in us addressing and working towards real solutions to these types of problems will be first turning around and looking directly inside the black community and noticing the record-breaking violence that occurs not once in a while as isolated media sensationalized incidents, but happens so often that you would think that sometimes they don't even occur. And that is the imminent threat that I see to black life in America. And once we acknowledge and start seeing or create a reverse trend, maybe we can start expecting other people, whether they be people of other ethnicities or, God forbid, a police officer, you know, maybe we can expect them to be held to a higher standard. But it's not going to make any sense when it appears as if we don't even have the same standard for one another. If we don't hold ourselves to that standard and say, well, you know, we're killing each other in record numbers, but God forbid you should be of another ethnicity and you kill one of us. There's something wrong with that, and careers are going to be spawned from that. Nobody can step into the celebrity spotlight by pointing that out or working for that. But that is the main problem. I don't see how anything can compare because statistically it doesn't.
Bill, wait one second. You raise a point that's been raised on the show many times in these conversations, which I think is very important. But Nakichi, please respond.
Yeah, first of all, I totally appreciate what the caller has said. He is absolutely correct. There is a crisis in the black community, but it really must be put up front that it is one thing for people to be murdered, but another thing for the perpetrators to be those who have sworn to uphold the law. There is a difference. We should not be killing ourselves in the streets. Absolutely correct. But for those who are law enforcement officials, the accountability, I mean, this is really something that is very legitimate to be addressed and addressed in the fashion in which it is. There is a rally tomorrow led by the online group Color of Change, which will deliver over 500,000 petitions, rally at the White House, calling for full accountability and systemic reform to discriminatory policing. Yes, those same petitions could and should be also for these massive killings that we're doing to each other. But again, for it to come from official sources, we need to really recognize the distinction between that as well.
Ron, you want to comment on this before we go back to the phone? Try to get one quick call in.
Well, I'm going to add my voice to what Nakichi said because those are two separate incidents. We cannot allow, and that's not the excuse for what's happening, we cannot allow people whose job is just to protect our community, to protect the neighborhoods and the people who live in them, to shoot people down in cold blood in the streets and then walk away from them simply because together they wear a police uniform. And then, but see, when the government and those who represent the government can do those kind of things, it adds to the kind of ruthlessness that we see in our community because it gives no value whatsoever to black life. And so the people in our community internalize that and then practice it on themselves. So that's some of the reason that we have some of the things that we have. If we get government to the place that it respects black life and values black life and the components of it, then we'll start to see some of that, less examples of that in our community, I believe.
So I we're almost out of time in this particular segment. Do we have time for the caller? Yes or no? Yes. One quick call, then we do have to move on, unfortunately. Brenda, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I wanted to address the issue of the whole black-on-black crime, and we need to address these things within ourselves. It's a very disheartening instance, I believe, of blaming the victim, of saying, well, you know, we kill each other, so obviously it's okay if this is done to us, you know, by law enforcement. And to me, yes, that is a separate issue, but at the same time, we do have to hold people who are supposed to be serving and protecting us to a higher standard. I mean, there are people within cultures who kill each other all the time. Irish are killing Irish, Arabs are killing Arabs. This is not a new thing. This is not a thing that's not happening all around the world. But when it comes to the people who are supposed to, who we're paying tax dollars to protect us and to serve us, then it's a huge disservice that they are so devaluing the lives of black people.
But I appreciate the call, and I think this is a really important discussion. I think that we want to look at this in the coming weeks, invite Ron Hampton and Nakichi and others back to continue this conversation, as we will be doing, both locally and nationally, because when you look at what's happening right now with the Anne Arundel County Police, their FOP gave money to the police officer who shot Mr. Brown, and it was interesting to see both black and white officers standing up and saying this was wrong, and I think there's movements inside even within the police who are trying to change the culture and nature of what policing means. I think this is time for a national conversation organizing, and I really want to applaud what's going to happen tonight at Busboys and Poets. Tonight at Busboys and Poets, the Institute of the Black Worlds, Ferguson and Beyond, the Way Forward, Town Hall Meeting on the Police Killings of Black Men will take place 6:30 to 8:30 at Busboys and Poets at 5th and K in Washington, D.C. And there'll be a live webcast you can be part of at IBW. mcw21.org, and reminding you tomorrow here on the campus of Morgan State University, there will be a teach-in on the disproportionate victimization of African Americans from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Jenkins 104 in the Outdoor Amphitheater. More information will be available at natasha.prattharris@morgan.edu. And I want to thank my old friend Don Rojas, Director of Communications for the Institute for the Black World, for joining us today. Ron Hampton, one of our leading activists, retired D.C. Metropolitan Police Department Community Relations Officer and a member of the board at the Institute for the Black World, and Nakichi Tefa, who is Senior Policy Analyst for Civil and Criminal Justice Reform at the Open Society Foundations. Thank the three of you so much for joining us today and for the work you're doing for our community and world.
Thanks for having us, Mark. Appreciate it.
We're going to take a brief break. It's time for our update on what's happening with the Baltimore City Paper. It comes out today. We are going out to break here with This Charm by Amy Dong, who has been a guest on the show, along with Brett McCabe. Brett McCabe reviews her new EP of this week's issue of the City Paper. We'll be right back.